The Lou Trek Show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Did you know the Tech Podcast Network was home of the best tech podcasts like Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show at MikeTechShow.com and Byron Brown, the Byron Brown Tech and Stuff, the Blur, Binary, and now the Road of I and We with co-host Benjamin Strong. Please check them out at bbtas.com and tell them the Lou Trek Show sent you. Why? Because he loves you.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
I am your resident computer. Computer.
Wait, what? Computer?
Yes, Lou.
I'm sorry. I don't remember anybody asking you to be on the show today.
I just thought.
Well, now, I understand what you were thinking, but really, not today, alright?
Sorry.
That's okay. Maybe another time we'll have you on, but could you go ahead and start the music up again, please?
Okay.
I'm your resident Ferengi, coming to you live from the FCA. Liquidator Lou Costanzo. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lou Trek Show. I am your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main website is www.lutrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments. Our email address is lutrekshow, and that is all one word, at gmail.com. Keep your email somewhat brief and to the point. We will work them in as part of a future show. You can follow us on Twitter by going to lutrekshow.com/Twitter or Facebook or MySpace, but pretty soon I'm going to create a page, and it's simply going to be lutrekshow.com/social. And there you'll find ways you can contact the show and follow the show. So you won't really have to fill in Facebook or what have you. We'll do that for you. And now for the last couple weeks, it's been 2 weeks since you've heard from us. And I'm going to tell you the story about the computer. You heard him talking. Well, it wasn't his fault this time. Last week, weekend before last, I was having some problems with the computer. It was running slow, and I always say that I like to keep my computer clean. I like it to run faster. It was having a problem. Occasionally, it wouldn't boot up, and I'd have to shut it off and turn it back on, and then it would start in Windows normally. It was running a little sluggish. It was what have you. I mean, my resources were high. Well, I'm the type, I like to test new things. Giveawayoftheday.com is a pretty favorite website of mine because you can, you know, usually get a lot of good programs for free. Well, when you do that, you kind of bog down your computer's registry. So it was running a little sluggish. I thought, I'm just going to go ahead and restore it. All I had to do was restore the original hard drive partition, the C drive. And my first clue should have been that when I tried to recover to factory new using the secondary hidden partition and it wouldn't work, that was my clue that maybe I should look into something on the hard drive itself. But anyway, I went ahead and restored it from the disks that I created. And then it rebooted and wouldn't go into Windows again. So this time I thought, okay, well then I'll do a destructive partition, destructive reformat, which absolutely wipes the partition on the computer. And I made sure I unplugged the other two hard drives that were in the case. That way it wouldn't accidentally erase the wrong drive and put it on there, and then I'd come back and find my old drive there and the one I wanted gone. Well, as it turns out, the first drive, the C drive, the first hard drive, was partitioned into three hard drives. The first one was a C drive, the operating system drive. The second one was a hidden partition for recovery. And the third one was what I call backup in data. Yeah, all the backup. The data, all the data, which includes everything of the show, was gone. Even all the previous episodes. Well, I use Carbonite on this computer to back up most everything, I thought. So Carbonite was able to, it backed up all the shows. So I had all 73 past shows on Carbonite. No problem, I downloaded them back. If I didn't, I could have easily gotten them online as well from the show itself. But the point is all I had 73 episodes from the past, but the directory that had the show's fundamental parts, such as what you heard for the intro, was gone. And I had to recreate everything. I'm talking the Tech of Trek, the Trek birthdays, and even a new one that I'm going to do tonight. it was gone. So I said, oh, hell with it. I'm going to leave it. I'll work on it because I had last Wednesday through Sunday off. I had plenty of time to work on it. But I really didn't feel like trying to cram it all to do a show last week. So I said, forget it. We'll figure it out. And we'll go one extra week. And season 2 of Star Trek The Next Generation, we're just going to pick through the pieces of each episode, play a trailer, and I'll tell you my thoughts on that episode. And we're going to start with episode number 1 of season 2 of Star Trek The Next Generation. Is called The Child. Ooh, it sounds interesting.
Next time on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Counselor Troy will have her baby in about 36 hours.
News of an alien pregnancy alarms the crew.
Something which I can only describe as a presence entered my body.
Could this mysterious entity pose a deadly threat?
Destroy it now.
Diana Muldoon, Whoopi Goldberg join the crew of Star Trek The Next Generation.
And of the two new actresses, one I absolutely thought was adorable. Can you guess which? No, I'm sorry, it wasn't Dr. Pulaski. It was Guinan. And of course, there's a whole story about why Guinan is on the show and how she got on the show. But I think the story goes, she was able to call up Gene and say, Gene, I love Star Trek and I want to be on it. And he thought, oh, crap, why not? That's a great idea. Come on in. So anyway, that's why she's on. But anyway, you know, I've always made jokes about Star Trek The Next Generation Season 1. Every new show has its first year of crap. And no exception. The men in dresses pissed me off. Except for maybe The Big Bang Theory. Now, that took off from the first episode. But anyway, in this one, we have this ball of light floating through space, enters a ship, and at the same time, enters Counselor Troy. And she's dreaming, going, oh goodness, oh, this is better than when Riker... sorry. But apparently it impregnates her somehow. And it's an alien baby. It's, you know, one half Betazoid, one half human. Oh, exactly like Mama. And she insists, hey, I haven't done it with anybody, Will. It was just you. So it's either you or it's something. Is it a threat? Well, of course it's a threat. What do you think? But nah, he was just, you know, he's just curious, wanted to know about humanity in the ship. He was just curious, and it was sad to have Ethan leave like he did, and, you know, but she was happy that at least he was with her for a little while he was, so that's what I believe about it. But of course, you know, poor Wesley Crusher, now he's without Mommy for the first time, because she's now head of Starfleet Medical. And apparently she didn't do very good on that, because we know she came back. So here is episode 2, where silence has lease. Not least, L-E-A-S-T. Oh, of course not. Lease, L-E-A-S-E. Where silence has lease.
Next time on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Shields up. Go to red alert.
Fire torpedoes.
Surprise attack hurls. hurls the Enterprise into a mysterious void.
We set to show nothing out there.
But a sinister alien traps the crew in a deadly experiment.
We will fight you.
It's a desperate battle for survival.
Initiate auto-destruct sequence.
On the next exciting episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Riker, William T., do you concur? Yes, I do concur. Wholeheartedly, I concur. Please, don't kill us. So, the Enterprise is traveling around minding its own business when all of a sudden it ends up in this void in space. And inside this void in space is a Romulan warbird who attacks him. So what does Picard do? He attacks back. And all it takes is one photon torpedo to destroy the Romulan warbird. Oh, that was too easy! Of course it was too easy. And as we find out, it was some crazy wild-eyed alien called Nagilum, which I didn't know this, but if you pronounce that word backwards, it's actually Mulligan. And I'm trying to remember, there has to be a reason why Mulligan in Nagilum was turned around, and maybe I'll come across that. But anyway, so he's doing experiments on how much the crew can take, and it'd only take about a third of your crew, maybe half. You know, but realistically, maybe about a third. So that's when Picard says, well, we have over 1,000 people on board. There's no way you're going to take a third of our crew. Take them all. So we go to self-destruct sequence. And that was his solution to Nagilum's threat of taking 333 people by killing 1,000. And I believe that's where Dr. Pulaski said, this was not a time to join this ship. Well, you're right, lady. You never should have joined the ship anyway, as you found out at the end of second season when your contract was ripped up to shreds. So, anyway, let's go on to number 3. And this was a pretty good one. Elementary, dear Data.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
I accept your challenge, Doctor.
I wouldn't miss it.
Dr. Pulaski challenges Data to solve the Sherlock Holmes mystery in the holodeck.
There is your killer.
Seize her!
But the evil Moriarty seizes the ship's computer.
The time for games is over.
In a ruthless plot to sabotage the Enterprise on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Now, why is it that they can't just pull the plug on the stinking holodeck? Why is it that every time the holodeck goes nuts on them, that they have to take 45 minutes to try and cure what the holodeck is doing? The holodeck's trying to kill you guys. Pull the stinking plug. But anyway, here we go. Geordi and Data want to play Sherlock Holmes, my dear Watson. And, of course, Geordi asks a very simple question. Create an opponent capable of defeating Data. And nobody thinks about, whole crap, what's it going to take to defeat Data? No. You have to defeat Holmes, not Data. And that creates a problem. Data is essentially the ship's computer with legs. So what's going to defeat him except for a better computer? And of course, once he says that, you see the entire ship drain of power almost. That's odd, says Worf. Riker says, what's odd? You know, across the board, power drain. Something had to happen. Geordi, something just happened. No, they don't do that. And they can't get out of the holodeck. I mean, you know, Moriarty's going to kill them. That's the dangers you run of just having the holodeck. So, don't have a holodeck. That's the moral of the story. In fact, I'd pretty much say there's two things you should never do. One is use a holodeck, and the second is use a runabout. Because either time you do any of those, you know, you always have problems. So, let's go on to number 4, the outrageous Akana. The outrageous Akana. The outrageous Akana.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Data, do you even know what a joke is?
Joe Piscopo helps Data become the king of comedy.
Show me what is funny.
All right, you're on.
But a fugitive on the ship is no laughing matter.
You will come with me now!
and he's being hunted by enemies who could trigger a war.
They're threatening to attack the Enterprise.
On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
What a stud. What a stud. And I think there was a problem between him and Will Riker for one basic reason. This man gets around. Will Riker only wishes he got around with the women like this man gets around. O'Connor even has alien races hell-bent on killing each other just to get him. And, of course, now, Joe Piscopo's on there as the comic. Comic continue. That's it, huh? Comic continue, huh? Anyway, Data's trying to learn how to laugh. Interesting enough, I guess that's possible. I like the O'Connor thing because he was kind of... He had some pretty hot women. O'Connor gets around. And Data never does really learn how to laugh. Except for maybe the joke that he finally got, like, years after from the first season. So, go on to number 5, and that will be the Schizoid Man.
Next time, on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
There are two disparate personalities within Lieutenant Commander Data.
Data is invaded by the soul of a dead scientist.
I will never have to face death again.
Are you hurting me?
That turns him into an alien Jekyll and Hyde.
Data is dead. Who's next?
And triggers a violent assault on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
He said, "Who's next?" And then you heard that crack. Well, apparently Picard was almost next. But here we go. Data is inhabited by Dr. Ira Graves on Graves World. You know, another thing interesting is I do want to welcome you all to Costanzo's World, because if we take the fact that it's Graves World, then this is my world. Welcome to my world. Dr. Graves, he was played, I'm pretty sure he was played by William Morgan Shepherd, who we heard from at Starbase Cindy last year. And of course he has a really, really hot assistant that he's really, really nuts about. But of course, you know, it's just him and her on the planet, and she's still not interested. So there's a problem when it's just you two on a planet, and she's not interested, dude. Suicide would have been an option rather than pining for a woman you'll never get. And certainly, I doubt you're going to catch her just because you take over an android's body, although he is fully functional, don't forget. But she was hot too, man. Just once, I'd like to see one ugly bitch on Star Trek, but you don't. You always got the hot women on Star Trek. So, let's go on to the next one. Number 6. Loud. Loud as a whisper.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
We are all in this together.
A deaf mediator hopes to bring peace to war-torn planets.
No, never, never!
A sudden attack kills off his translators.
Beam us up now!
Destroying any chance of ceasefire.
We need you!
On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
We are all in this together!
Yeah, uh-huh, sure. But, you know, he had to leave him on the planet by himself and go off to the next romp. Anyway, I want to mention that, of course, I'm following the I'm getting these trailers from YouTube, and I'm following them with Memory Alpha. And it seems to me Memory Alpha has the Schizoid Man and Loud as a Whisper reversed. So I'm not exactly sure. Don't take what I say as far as this was number 6, Loud as a Whisper, because Memory Alpha has this as number 5. So if I'm wrong, I do apologize. So we'll get that out of the way just yet. Okay, so anyway, we have Riva, who can't speak. He's got 3 people who interpret his thoughts and express them. And of course, one is the passionate boy, and he's got this thing for Well, no, he doesn't. Reva has this thing for Deanna Troi. Okay, well, maybe they both do, but only Reva expresses it through this guy. But they go down on a planet where they're trying to... Reva's trying to mediate these two rival species. But unfortunately, Riker... No, I didn't say unfortunately. I meant fortunately, Riker pulls Reva out of the way, and the other three, his chorus, they call them, stand there startled like... as they incinerate. Now Reva needs to figure out what to do. The best thing? I don't know. Teach Data how to do sign language, and he does the trick. Congratulations, Data. For once, you didn't try to take over the ship, you didn't try to kill anybody, and you saved the day. But in the end, even he wasn't necessary. Reva decided to teach the two sign language. Excellent suggestion. Let's go on to the next one, and this is number 7, called Unnatural Selection.
Next time, on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Torpedoes ready, Commander.
The crew destroys a vessel infested with a mysterious disease.
They died of old age.
Dr. Pulaski risks her life to find a cure.
Doctor, I want you back aboard this ship.
Now, she's old before her time, and her time is running out. On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
You know, I want to see a picture of Kate Mulgrew and see what she looks like now and compare her to what Dr. Pulaski looked like when she became 104 years old all within a matter of an hour. Now, the USS Langtree is infected with this disease, and it infects this planet where it only affects... the adults, the children, are in quarantine. Can the children ever come out? Probably not. So Dr. Pulaski decides to put him on a shuttle and prove that the children are just fine. Well, that backfired on her. Her and Data are exposed. Well, Data isn't going to get anything, but Pulaski starts aging right before our eyes. And, you know, one thing about Trek, you get to believe that these things are actually happening. For instance, if Picard is talking to Geordi in engineering, it's actually one actor reading his lines in front of the camera on a soundstage, and then later another actor acting to those lines as if it just came over the intercom. But in Star Trek, it makes it feel real, as if Picard is really talking to an engineering who's really answering back to him. Well, the USS Langtree, did you not kind of feel a lump in your throat at the end when Picard had to destroy the vessel before it was able to infect anybody? And you see the bridge crew standing up, and you see the moment of silence before the ship is destroyed. Did you not kind of get a lump in your throat when that happened? Because you figure all those people had died. That's one thing about Star Trek that I've found is very true, is that it's almost lifelike. So let's go on to the next one, number 8, A Matter of Honor.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
I've been assigned to serve this ship and to obey your orders.
Commander Riker joins the Klingons and is faced with a deadly decision.
I intend to attack the Enterprise and destroy it.
He must battle his own crew to survive.
I order you to lower your shields and surrender.
Prepare to attack!
On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Wow, Riker on a Klingon ship. This is a bunch of crap. I'm sorry, but having a human on a Klingon vessel? No way. It can't be done. Worf was young enough. He was raised by humans. Having Riker go onto a ship full of adult Klingons who, you know, just 50 years ago were trying to kill humans, I don't know if I would have done it. I don't think so. And, of course, Riker has to take the captain out and take over the ship. Well, that's the way they do it in Klingon, so why not? But didn't you think for a second that Riker was actually going to fire on the Enterprise? I kind of did. So let's go on to the next one.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
It's unjustified, it's unfair. He has rights.
A Starfleet experiment threatens to dismantle Data for android research.
And what's at stake?
My very life.
No, Captain Picard is Data's last hope for survival.
What is he? A machine.
And now a man will shut it off.
Objection.
On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Will you condemn him to servitude and slavery? So, was Data a machine, or was he a person? Well, as it turns out, Data is a person. And the doctor on Voyager is a person. Well, maybe he's not a person, but he does have the right to control his works. So anyway, let's back up to Next Generation here. The Data's on trial because Commander Bruce Maddox would like to take him apart. Do a little experimental surgery, because just imagine a whole fleet of Data's. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, why not? I mean, the holographic program sure worked. They have doctors all over the Federation. They even have the Mark IV, I believe it is. So they went from the Mark I prototype to the Mark IV holographic doctor. So in a sense, they did with the holograms what Maddox was trying to do with the Data. A whole fleet of Data's. And of course, then it becomes, well, they're going to become a race. And you're going to be judged by how you treat that race. So it's a pretty good, that's a damn good episode. I believe they call it a belter of an episode, because it was dead on with android rights. And of course, again, we go into holographic rights. I think later we're going to have nanite rights, machine rights. But still, this one here was a great one. What about the next one? Number 10, the Dolphin. The Dolphin. I wonder where they came up with that name.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Whether or not I see Wesley is for me to decide.
It is not.
A mysterious princess is love-struck with Wesley.
Leave her alone.
But a powerful guardian will kill to protect her secrets.
What's going on?
Just go, please.
Has Wes uncovered a hidden terror that could endanger the Enterprise? Find out on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
The princess was love-struck with Wesley. How the hell did that happen? How could the princess possibly be love-struck with Wesley? Now, I was kind of struck with the princess, I will admit that. She was cute. What was her name?
Celia Abdaladfar.
I think I did that pretty good, I hope. I'll take comments on my Celia Abdaladfar. The Enterprise has to transport Celia and her delegate, a nut job of a woman, to, I believe it was, again, mediate a dispute. So she beams aboard the ship and passes by Wesley, who goes, holy, wow, she is hot. But her guardian, or her governess, Anya, I believe her name was, she ain't having any part of Wesley. So Wesley's trying to figure out what to do. Now, a typical teenager, he doesn't know what the heck to do with her. Sort of. So he goes to the number one guy on the ship for some advice, LaForge. Just go talk to her. Be yourself. If only Geordi had remembered that later when he was on the holodeck with another hot chick. But he forgot what he had told Wesley. Just be yourself. So anyway, he goes to the door, talks to Celia, and of course they come up with this big romance and, you know, forget about what Anya says. Well, did you know that Anya and Celia are metamorphed and turned into these big, gigantic monsters? Of course not. Neither did Wesley. But we sure found out when she did. So let's go on to the next one. Another one that I really liked. Number 11. This is called Contagion.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Destroy that probe!
An alien force is programming the Enterprise for self-destruction.
We're sitting on a bomb that could go off any second.
Leaving the ship defenseless against an enemy attack.
They're preparing to fire photon torpedoes.
Sir, the shields aren't responding.
Now, the crew faces a countdown to disaster. On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
And this is where, again, you feel like Star Trek is real. And when you see the USS Yamato, the sister ship of the Enterprise, explode with over 1,000 people on board, men, women, and children on board, you can't help but go, oh, goodness, how could that happen? Matter of fact, I'm going to find an audio clip of that show and let you listen to it right now, of Picard's log entry, and this is what makes you go, oh, God.
Captain's log supplemental. The Yamato's entire crew and their families, more than 1,000 people, have been lost. Circumstances, unfortunately, permit us no pause for grief.
Of course not. Because the story's got to go on. But anyway, that's what I'm getting at. That was tragic. Just watching a galaxy-class starship with what could be over 1,000 people being destroyed right before your eyes, that it kind of gets tragic. I'm just glad it's not real. But anyway, the contagion takes over the USS Yamato and destroys it, and obviously the Enterprise downloads Yamato's computer records, and it got into the Enterprise, and now the same fate is heading for the Enterprise. So they backtrack to where this took place, and they find the ability to stop it. But it came pretty close there. Almost took out the Enterprise as well. Here is the next one. This is number 12, called the Royale. And keep that in your mind, because you may be hearing about this one later in this episode.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
It seems like we're trapped in here.
Proceed with caution.
A dangerous mission uncovers a secret alien passage.
Welcome to the Hotel Royale.
Where the crew become prisoners in a fictional casino that's all too real.
Lock onto the landing party. Beam them up.
We've got nothing to lock on to, sir.
Now, they must gamble with their lives in a deadly game of survival on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
I was 20 years old when this episode came out. It was in 1989. I was 20 years old, so I still wasn't old enough to go into a casino. And at that time here in Omaha, the closest casino that we used to go to when I turned 21 was from Omaha into a Indian reservation in Sloan, Iowa. It was called Winnevegas. It was in by the Winnebago tribe. And that was my first casino I ever went to. But while I was watching the Royale, I always envisioned is that the way the casinos really work, casino hotel, and of course they're not. Now, the Enterprise finds its planet, and it's this one little pocket of breathable air. That's it. Just this one little pocket of breathable air. The rest of the planet's methane, fluorine, whateverine, and they decide to beam down into the pocket of air. Personally, if I didn't see any life forms or any signs of intelligent life, I think I'd have continued on with my mission and probably not beamed down to that planet. But I'm not in charge. I say that a lot. And so they do beam down to the planet, and of course they find that they can't get out of this casino, as fascinating as this is. They find this book entitled The Hotel Royale, that these aliens built this whole casino hotel around based on that book. And apparently there were astronauts of some kind from Earth. Now, supposedly, in The Next Generation, they were expanding their knowledge of space, but in this case, somebody beat them to it. And they trapped them on this planet, and these people had in their possession this book. So these aliens decided to create this reality based on that book for these people's benefit. And it was a badly written book full of endless cliches, I believe is what they say, and he'll welcome death when it arrives. So it was an interesting episode, but really, I don't know. I don't think there was much production value in the Royale. But again, keep that in your mind. You may hear it again. Next one is number 13. This is called Times Square.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation, Captain Picard's identical twin from the future traps the Enterprise in a deadly time warp.
The Enterprise was destroyed 3 hours and 19 minutes from now.
We can't escape. We can't go forward. No.
Now, can they stop their own destruction?
I can't hold it any longer.
It's a desperate fight to escape total annihilation on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
So you can't go back, you can't go forward.
No, 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 you can't go forward.
And obviously that's what the Picard from the past did. He fought it, and he didn't go forward. And of course now he has a mulligan. He can go and do it all over again, because that's why he was thrown back in time. To apparently do it all over again. And, you know, you can fight, you can fight, you can fight, and eventually there comes a point when resistance is futile. Who? Where did I get that from? Anyway, there comes a point when you just have to give up and just go for it and see what happens. And that's what they do. They get out of it by just going straight and taking a chance. So anyway, here we go on to number 14. This is where somebody's daddy visits. I don't know. Maybe this might be the first of the... I'm trying to think, was there anything in season one? But this is probably the first of where people from their extended family start infiltrating the Enterprise. This is called the Ancarus Factor. Or maybe Ancarus Factor.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Today, I am a warrior.
Lieutenant Worf takes part in a savage Klingon ritual. Commander Riker faces a vicious feud with his father.
We could clear the air once and for all.
You're on.
Each one confronts a do-or-die test of courage.
This fight is all we have left.
On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Yeah, but apparently Worf had the easier fight with the 10 Klingon pain sticks. Ha-cha-cha, ha-cha, ha-gee, oh, God, that hurt. Well, he didn't say that in English. I think he said in Klingon. But he said, I'm a warrior! And they start jabbing him with these pain sticks. And, of course, now Daddy Riker comes on board, and they haven't spoken to each other since the Boom ages. And as it turns out, Dr. Pulaski and Mr. Riker were once an item. Nobody told Will that. Ain't that funny? Nobody told Will. Oh, by the way, I've been banging your doctor. What? You what? Well, maybe he didn't say that. But still, that pretty much came across. Okay, now here's a cute little episode. It's one of those, if you can get a kid on board, you've got to. Even if it's an alien kid. So here's number 15, Pen Pals.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Captain, permission to beam down to Drama 4.
Data struggles to rescue an alien friend from a dying planet.
You cannot survive in this.
While the crew conducts a dangerous experiment to stop its destruction.
Data, you've got 10 minutes, that's it.
Firing torpedoes.
Can they save the doomed planet before it's too late?
What are we going to do?
Find out on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Captain's Log Supplemental. We've entered into orbit around the planet of which Data received the distress signal. Something like that. Sarjenka is an alien who's talking on the CB radio to Commander Data, who, you know, is playing around and hears, "Is anybody out there?" Now, what's a prime directive? They are not a spacefaring civilization. You don't make contact with them. Uh-uh. Data gets hot and says, "Breaker, breaker, 1-9. I'm sorry, he didn't say that. But the point is, he starts having this pen pal relationship with an alien who has no idea where he's calling from. He's kept that somewhat vague. And she's telling him about her life, and he realizes her plant's about to be destroyed, so he has to save her. So he goes to the captain, who says, "You've been doing what?" And then they have to have a conference, and they all, you know, pull out the claws, and they start scratching each other about who's going to finally win. Data, I want you to sever the link with, I think it was Drama 4. But anyway, Data goes over, taps the computer, isolating frequency. No, of course, the computer couldn't just go cut it off, couldn't pull the plug. Isolating frequency. Data, where are you? Data, I'm so scared. Data, please, why ain't you answering? Data, wait. Data. They can't turn their backs on them. So now we're going to enter into the planet where Data received the distress signal. And he beams down and he finds this odd-looking little girl. And he beams her aboard. Oh, no. Chief O'Brien said it best when he said, there's going to be hell to pay. And there certainly was hell to pay. But it wasn't too bad, because Dr. Pulaski, you know, who's a wonder pet, she... Now, if you all don't know who the wonder pets are, you're just going to have to find out on your own. She was able to redo her memory engram so that when she woke up, not only was the memory of the planet in distress, which her parents say, hey, Sarzenka, where the heck were you? Our planet was falling apart around us. Oh, I took a nap. Maybe, maybe not, I don't know. But she was able to take care of Sarzenka's memories. You know, I wish that someone could take care of my memories of a couple past girlfriends. I'd sure love to just... I'd even blank out that part of my life if I could, but it's just not possible. Well, I don't know Dr. Pulaski. So let's go on to the next one. Number 16 of Season 2 is called Q-Who. Boy, am I going to rip this one apart.
Next time on Star Trek The Next Generation, the evil Q returns.
What do you want, Q? My purpose is to join you.
No.
And Picard faces Q's wrath when the Enterprise is hurled into a living nightmare.
We have an intruder.
Now the crew is helpless against an invincible race of alien killing machines.
You can't outrun them. You can't destroy them.
On Star Trek The Next Generation...
And why the hell don't you know who they are? Why the hell don't you know who they are? After all, Captain Jonathan Archer had to deal with these cybernetic people. Why don't you know who they are? Q flings the Enterprise into the Delta Quadrant, where they come up against Star Trek's worst enemy of all time, the Borg, who are hell-bent on assimilating civilizations. Well, now, we don't know that at the time. The only thing this Borg ship was interested in doing is learning their technology. Well, obviously, they were learning their technology so they could assimilate them later. But, as Q says, or as Picard said is at the end, they will be coming. My biggest pet peeve with this episode is, this is a future from Captain Archer and the NX-01. Why do they not know who the Borg are? Captain Archer found these cybernetic beings, or somebody did, on Earth, and Archer had to fight them. How could they not know who the Borg were? And even Janeway tells Q, who, by the way, who sent them there, Janeway even tells Q in the Delta Quadrant, and, oh, by the way, thank you for introducing us to the Borg. That was one of your most kinder moments. So, it just bothers me that when they went back to the prequel for Star Trek Enterprise, considering that, they had a continuity issue when they had Q-Who introducing the Enterprise-D to the Borg a second time. And it just so happened to be both times they were introduced to the Borg, it was on the Enterprise. So let's go on to number 17, Samaritan Snare.
Next time on Star Trek The Next Generation, Captain Picard's life is on the line as he faces a critical operation.
This man is dying.
And Geordi is held hostage by alien kidnappers.
Drop your shields!
This is the Enterprise. Return our personnel or face immediate reprisal.
Two lives hang in the balance.
The captain needs our help.
Phaser's ready, sir.
My friends, my people, they're trying to kill us!
Fire!
On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Why would you use a word on the pack lids such as reprisal? Immediate what? We want reprisal. That won't make us reprise. Maybe. This is what I've always said. No good deed goes unpunished. Picard has to go to some planet to get his heart replaced. Of course, why does he need his heart replaced? Well, you'll find out in this episode, but needless to say, he was young and he was crazy and he was in a bar. Need I tell you more? But the replacement is not doing good. It needs to be replaced. The replacement needs to be replaced. Pulaski could very easily do this on the ship, but heck no. Picard needs to go on a shuttlecraft and go somewhere with Crusher and get it done where Pulaski can't get her grody hands on his body. Because you know when he's under, she's just going to want to, you know, do some things to him that he doesn't want done. But he says he just doesn't want the crew to know what's going on. We all know what's really happening. You know, when Picard's under anesthesia or whatever it is, you know, they put the thing on his head and he just goes to sleep. Oh, man. You know what I would do with that? I'd do that every damn night. Put that thing on, program it for, give me an 8 hours sleep, and I'd wake up refreshed. I don't want my heart transplanted if I can go without that. But I'd sure love to get that alpha-inducing wave-generating thing. And so anyway, of course, as Picard is having his procedure, he has a heterocyclic declination. Something happened, and they have to resuscitate him because he's Picard. Or actually, more like because he's Picard, that's why he lived. Anyone else, he would have died. Janeway, goner. Even Kirk. I have to wonder if Kirk could handle a heart transplant. Anyway, let's go on to the next one, episode number 18. This one's called Up the Long Ladder.
Next time on Star Trek The Next Generation, a rescue mission uncovers a colony of clones facing extinction.
I was hoping that you would be willing to share some tissue samples.
You want to clone us?
And to keep their race alive, they're conducting secret breeding experiments on the crew.
We're desperate.
And that gave you the right to assault us, to rob us, and
we have the right to survive.
On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
So, what do they choose to clone? Oh, no other than Pulaski and Riker. They chose to assault them, but clone them. And now, I want you to watch this episode really closely. When the mad scientist doctor was shooting Pulaski and Riker with his little phaser, look at the two guys behind him with their own phasers and tell me if that's not Eddie Murphy. I swear to God it looks like Eddie Murphy. Watch that episode, number 18, when they go in, when Riker and Pulaski get summoned to the planet for whatever reason, obviously a ruse to collect some DNA. Look at the guys behind the mad doctor and tell me that doesn't look like Eddie Murphy. Sure does to me. So let's go on to the next one. Number 19, this is called Manhunt.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation, Counselor Troy's mother is on a manhunt for a new husband.
A betazoid woman, when she goes through this phase, quadruples her sex drive.
Now, Picard's hiding in the holodeck to escape wedlock.
Perhaps we should consider my alternate plan.
Riker is the next man she hopes to seduce.
Married? Until death must do part.
On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
If you can't have Deanna Troi, go for the next best thing. Her mother. I've always said that. Well, maybe not. But, come on, let's face it, Majel Barrett was kind of cute. She was pretty sexy at that age. Of course, I just say that because she's dead now, and she's, you know, overlooking my show right now in disbelief. A Betazoid, when she goes through this stage in her life, quadruples her sex drive. And it just so happens at the end of Star Trek's Legacy of the Next Generation, Riker gets to marry Deanna Troi. So, I'm wondering if he's sitting there thinking, come on, Deanna, quadruple. Come on, Deanna, quadruple. Quadruple. Today? Nope. Damn it. So, I wonder what Riker's going through right about now. Because it's been quite a few years since she may be entering this phase of her life. And quadruples. Anyway. Let's go on to the next one. Number 20. This is called The Emissary.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation, Lieutenant Worf is reunited with his lost love.
I've never had such strong feelings toward anyone.
No!
Two brave warriors test the courage of their private passions.
We are mated.
I am not going to become your wife.
Now, they must join forces to prevent a Klingon attack.
Drop your shields.
On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Just because she's not going to become his wife doesn't mean that Alexander's not going to be born, though. And I think this is obviously the episode where Alexander was conceived. Although I can't prove that, but it sure looks like to me. I mean, after all, they did put their hands together, and we both know where Klingons... Never mind. So their mission is to find this Klingon ship from the past who's been in cryogenetic stasis for 150 years and have no idea that them and humans are now friends, or at least allies. And they have to find this ship before it finds them. Too late. The ship finds them, and they fight. And Worf gets out the screen in his little Klingon robe and says, "You fool! Did it not occur to you?" Well, come on, it occurs to me that he could be fake. I still would have pounced on the Enterprise, and then, of course, the Enterprise would have swatted it with its little fly swatter called the Phaser Bank, and it had been done. But Kalar was pretty cute. You know, her and B'Elanna Torres. I can't say this for Kalar. Susie, I don't remember her last name. I do want to see a picture of the Susie girl to see if she was as cute as Kalar, because B'Elanna and Roxanne Dawson are not the same. In this case, I believe B'Elanna was cuter than Roxanne. Ain't that something? I don't know why. Put the bumps on Roxanne. If I had to marry Roxanne, I would insist on having the bumps on her head because she was cuter. Sorry. Let's go on to the next one. This one is called Peak Performance, number 21.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
The hunt begins, number one.
The crew battles each other in simulated war games.
Computers report heavy damage to the Enterprise.
Bring us about, Ensign. Maximum shields.
But a surprise ambush traps them in a fight for survival.
That's no ghost attacking the Enterprise. That's real.
Where are my weapons?
Unavailable, sir. The connections have been fused.
On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Our senses indicate you are aware of our approach and yet took no action. This confuses us. Oh, come on. Who are these stupid-ass Ferengi who think they can come up on the flagship of the Federation? They don't have their little phaser whips with them. What are they going to do? Well, apparently, they were able to do a lot. Because the Enterprise was... I don't know. I mean, they unhooked their phasers, they unhooked their shields, and made it all simulated. Now, why do you need to unhook it all to have a simulation? Why can't you just run a subroutine that kind of shuts them all down but can be turned back on instantly? Well, because if you did, then the Enterprise wouldn't get the hell beat out of it like it was because they were ill-prepared. Obviously, Riker was showing Picard the Riker maneuver, and I've told you what I thought the Riker maneuver is earlier in past shows, so we won't rehash it here. But Riker shows Picard the Riker maneuver, and Picard says, "I'm not falling for this again," when a Ferengi ship comes into range. And, of course, it was a real Ferengi ship kicking the crap out of the Enterprise. And then they have to come up with together to have their little warp jump, and they do, and the Ferengi fall for it, and everything's cool. So that brings us to our last episode of the season, and this one is called Shades of Grey. Well, hey, I'm glad that you joined me today. Oh, I'm sorry, I guess I'll play it. I hate this, but I'll play it.
Next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation. Commander Riker is invaded by an alien parasite.
My whole leg just went dead.
Their growth rate has doubled.
It's attacking his brain and nothing can stop it.
Respiration is erratic, pulse grossly irregular, blood pressure almost nil.
Can anything save him from a tragic death?
Hang on, Will. Hang on.
Find out next time on Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Oh, come on. What parasite could possibly invade Riker's brain? It ain't possible. He's Riker. Once it got to the beard, it would have stopped instantly. Nothing could penetrate the beard. Keep that in mind. And, of course, this one here is similar to what they call the bottle ship. I mean, they went over budget in their episodes, and so they keep things down to a simple element. Riker is in sickbay the entire show as they're trying to fight this thing. And the way to do it was to have Riker relive past images through the eyes of the camera, no less, of him in situations. There's one thing that really bothers me, and I'm having trouble remembering what the particular scene was, but they have, as part of the flashbacks, an image of Riker on a planet and Picard on the ship. And one of the communications they have is Picard telling Tasha what to do, or telling, I'm sorry, maybe not Tasha, telling somebody else what to do when Riker was not on the ship. How would he have a memory of that if he was not on the ship and the communication frequency wasn't open? The communicator was not on. He was not on the ship. Why would that have been a memory that he was reliving to fight this parasite? It wouldn't have been. So that was very invalid. But anyway, and so they went to previous episodes and pulled out different images of each episode. And then I believe there was even some of the Genesis planet. So as you're watching these scenes being relived in his brain to fight this parasite, you'll see something of the Genesis planet being born from Star Trek II. So that's another fascinating, interesting thing. So anyway, that brings us to the end of Season 2 review of Star Trek The Next Generation. And something I want to do real quick. I'm going to do a segment that's previewing tonight.
And now, the Lou Trek Show is proud to present news from the future. Just because we ain't there yet doesn't mean it didn't happen.
A 78-year-old professor at Temporal Mechanics is the focus of a murder-suicide. Police say that Professor Tim E. Travel, who, when you put his names together, says time travel, was so distraught that he was unable to perfect time travel for commercial use that he traveled back in time and killed his younger self. Witnesses on the scene say a man appeared out of nowhere, pulled the phaser, and shot another man as he was reading a book about time travel. One witness said both men disappeared as if they never had existed. Police are still investigating the incident. Police bust a Betazoid rape group today on the planet Ryza. The group, led by an unnamed ship's counselor, was using telepathy to molest their victims. Police claim as many as 100 victims may be involved. The number is hard to track down, as the crime was committed while the person slept, causing them to believe they had nothing more than a bizarre dream. The counselor, accompanied by her husband, a Federation ship captain, was arraigned in court today, and as feared by the emotion of the judge, was held without bond. Trial is expected to begin within the next few star days. A Scottish man who claims to be 147 years old was arrested recently for ORWI, operating a runabout while intoxicated. The man claims to be Captain Montgomery Scott, missing since 2294 when he boarded the USS Ginolan en route to the Norpin colony. His runabout was pulled over when police observed him weaving through traffic. The man was quoted as saying, "The android at the bar got me drunk, and the captain of the ship put me in this bloody thing." The man is being held for psychiatric evaluation. In financial news, the bankruptcy of the Hotel Royale is having an impact in the Federation economy. Sources say after the cameras stopped rolling on TNG episode The Royale, Starfleet moved in on the casino hotel to, quote, take a piece of the action, end quote. An anonymous source in the casino said that when the feds took over, debts began to rise and profits began to fall. The bankruptcy judge has appointed a Ferengi trustee to oversee the bankruptcy process in an effort to maximize profits. Good luck there. Turning to weather, a meteor shower is expected to enter the quadrant and pass by Sector 001 within 3 days. All ships in the area are ordered to remain on yellow alert by order of Starfleet Command. And yes, that does include non-Federation ships. In sports, the Runabout Baseball League has suspended pitcher USS Fastball for hyposteroid use. Sources in Starfleet security accuse the ship's engineer of injecting the drug into the ship's warp-filled reactor, resulting in a pitch that even a Galaxy-class starship couldn't hit with a spread of quantum torpedoes. This will severely delay the opening of Game 4 of the series. And that was
News from the Future!
Check back often for more News from the Future. And that's going to bring us to the end of our episode. I hope you like News from the Future, because it hit me one day and I said, oh, this is too funny. Too funny to pass up. And, of course, I ran this by my advisor, Byer Brown, of BBTAS.com, and I said, what do you think of this? And when I got back, the brother, this is funny, I knew it was gold. Now, here is a question from Byer Brown. Before we go, I want you guys to help me work on this. And I am going to work on this, Byer, but I had technical issues on the computer, as you know. So here's Byer's question. Check it out. It's kind of interesting.
Hey, Lou, it's Byer Brown from BBTAS Studios over here in Pittsburgh, PA, and I hope that this message finds you well. What's up, Ryan Dennemore? You did an excellent job on that show that you had to do by yourself because Lou wasn't feeling too well. You knocked it out the park, and I'm so glad you did that show so that all us Star Trek fans would have something to listen to. So that was really, really cool. In any case, I was wondering, what happens in Star Trek when they need entertainment? Is it all about the holodeck, or do they have, like, rock bands that they listen to, or do they have a favorite radio show, or, here's a thought, do they listen to any podcast out there in space? Anyways, I just wanted to know that, and that was a question that was kind of playing in my head. I'll look forward to hearing your answer on the show. May God bless, and bye-bye.
All right, Byer. Hey, may God bless you, too. As you know, Byer and I seem to have some kind of bromance going on, but I'm perfectly content with that because not only do I love the man's voice, this guy, he's becoming a brother to me in a sense, because I'll be honest, I don't have a lot of friends, so I consider Byer at the top of who I consider friends, at the top, and so I appreciate him sending a message to me because I want you all to work on it as well. And my response kind of fits along the lines, and this is why I want to research this more, because I never really thought about it along those lines. We always consider the next generation, or I'm sorry, the original series never really had much, except for maybe the Pleasure Planet that everyone was going nuts on. But then the Next Generation introduced the holodeck, and as I told you before, if a show involves a holodeck or a runabout or a shuttlecraft trip, it's going to end in disaster, or not end in disaster, but disaster is going to be involved. So whenever they use a holodeck, something went wrong. But what did the crew do other than that? Now, we already know, like, Enterprise, Star Trek Enterprise, used to have movie night. They had movie night a lot. And they had chef. I mean, there was no replicator, so I'd say going to the mess hall, or I'm not sure what they called it there, but having chef on board was excellent, you know. But as far as the Next Generation, it was all about the holodeck or concerts. The DS9, again, was holosuite, and why, I always wondered, why did it go from a holodeck to a holosuite? Don't know. But anyway, so I would like some participation in this, and I'm sorry Brian wasn't on the show, even though Byer's message went to Brian, because Brian took over when I had pneumonia, and now I'm taking over because Brian is MIA. But I wanted to put this out. I will research this some more. I don't know if it'll be by next week, because you figure there's a lot of Trek to go through. and I want to do buyer justice on this. That's why I played it now. Anybody, you got any other thing, any other suggestions, please send them to lootrekshow@gmail.com, and we will get them to buyer. And also be looking for buyer to be on a future episode of the Loot Trek Show. We're currently in negotiations to bring him on a topic that I have been very... It's a kind of a touchy subject, but I'm going to do it. And I'll explain my reasons why when it gets to that episode, and Buyer's going to help me out on that. So everybody visit Buyer Brown at BBTAS. Tell him the Loot Trek Show sent you, and also encourage him to create more BBTAS, Buyer Brown tech and stuff, because either I'm missing it or I haven't heard it. I've heard the blur. I've heard the Rotovine Wii. Matter of fact, hey, Buyer, you need to get on Binary. But we need to get a good BBTAS. And if you want the Loot Trek Show, I know just enough tech to be somewhat entertaining for 30 or 40 minutes. Call me, brother. Don't keep your fans hungry for more. Find a way to get them out. And if you want help, I'll be happy to help you. Anytime. So now, the one sound effect I didn't recreate or create again was my exit saw. We're not going to hear Picard's flute this time. I'll have it by next week. But I want to thank you very much for downloading and listening to the show. I'm sorry Brian wasn't here, but hopefully he'll be back next week. Good night, everybody. And thank you very much for downloading and listening to the Loot Trek Show. See you next week.